Radio Sport.
Hello, hello, sporting enthusiasts. Yes, you know what day it is. It is...
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
I couldn't have put it better myself, Rebecca Black. Thank you very much for that. So, welcome back to Friday Sport Preview and another fantastically wet and windy and grim weekend ahead. But... you athletes are hardy folk and are more than ready to battle the elements as well as each other. So tonight, it's been a big week for Corinthians Football Club. Tony Metham is here to reveal more. Plus, I've got a preview of tomorrow's hockey matches for you and also a roundup of last night's basketball results. I'm Rhiann Evans. Thanks very much for having me on this evening. So yes, thank you for tuning in. It's great to be back with you once again. Always enjoy our time together. And thanks very much to Alex Wotton for the news there. I've got a couple of headlines for you before we dive into football. So the opening event for the Manx Enduro season has unfortunately been cancelled. The Peel Hill Fun Day opener was due to take place tomorrow. However, Peel commissioners have decided to call off the event to avoid causing ecological damage. And it's due to tomorrow's weather forecast predicting extreme wind and rain. All competitors will receive a refund in the next few days and Manx MTB Enduro will provide an update on their Facebook page as soon as possible. But until then, the next event is round one on the 13th of June. Now, Women and Girls Softball Cricket Festivals return this month and are set to see you through the whole summer. The festivals are a celebration of the sport and a way to encourage more women to give the game a go. The ball used is softer than an average cricket ball, meaning no pads or gloves are needed to play. And during the sessions, you'll learn how to bowl, bat and catch and also develop the skills you already have. No previous experience playing cricket is necessary to join in. It's all a load of fun. The festivals are open to any female player. You can either form your own team of eight players, join a local team, or you can sign up individually and be allocated to a team on the day. Information on all the festival dates available and also how to get involved can be found on the Manx Radio Sports page. It's all there for you. And finally, Manx players have made a definite imprint on this year's LTA Tennis Awards. Currently in their sixth year, the ceremony celebrates the achievements made by outstanding tennis volunteers, coaches, officials, venues and players in Britain. Albany Tennis Club's Pat Sharp was the Isle of Man County winner in the Lifetime Achievement Award. Brian Walton from Isle of Man LTC was the Isle of Man County winner in the Volunteer of the Year category. And Sean Dury from Ramsey Tennis Club and Neil Ronan from Castletown LTC were winners in the Coach of the Year Development category. Pat, Brian, Sean and Neil are part of more than 2,000 award nominations submitted across Britain, and they will now, along with all other county LTA tennis award winners, be considered for a regional award, and if they're successful, will be in contention to be crowned an LTA tennis award winner in July. A huge congratulations to Pat, Brian, Sean and Neil. Awesome stuff.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
And I'm delighted, as always, to have Tony Metham in the studio with me. How are you today, Tony?
Fine, thank you. And lots of football to go on tomorrow. Weather?
Yes, please. That's all I care about.
Yeah, the weather's
really
looking a bit iffy in the morning, but I think we'll be fine because the pitch is, a little bit hard at the moment. So I'm not saying the rain will make any difference to them because it needs a lot of water the way things are. But no, there's a lot of football, more football midweek, and we're going through them nicely. We're losing a few fixtures, which we expected, just with so many games coming on. But things are starting to gather momentum. We got two championship winners midweek and possibly two championship winners tomorrow.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that because it's been an exciting midweek. Well, lots has been happening, basically. And as you said, it's kind of two teams that are claiming both leagues. So, and for particularly for Corinthians,
yeah,
well, first time.
Yeah, first time. Proud of the boys and Canada Life Premier League. Corinthians, when you look back 3 or 4 years ago, they finished second. Then I think they were fourth. Last year was null and void. And then, this year they're a point away from it with three games to go. So well done to them. And it's looking good for them to win the championship. But it's a tough game tomorrow against Marown. But let's talk about midweek when Corinthians beat Ramsey after being 1-0 down. They finished the game 11-1 winners and clinched the championship. So well done to Peter Dixon and certainly Edward. Walter, who put so much time in that team, and the young lads that there, because it's amazing. You've got a couple of 18-year-olds in there, and the average age, at a guess, I'd say, you know, 23, 24. It's a really good young team. But also to Union Mills, incredible, because when you look at Union Mills about 3 or 4 years ago, a lot of their promising young players that were coming through left on group to another club, and Union Mills have had to rebuild, and Stephen Fox, Michael Crellin, done a great job with both teams, and to win that competition, the combination two, is absolutely brilliant for them. And we've got the same scenario tomorrow, where Corinthians could win the Premier League and also Union Mills could win Division 2.
Well, it just sounds like a lot of patience has finally paid off.
Well, I think it has, because when you look back at Union Mills, great facilities, work hard as a club. You rely on your players sort of staying with you, staying loyal. But a few left and went to another club, but they've come back, and I think they've been the difference this year for them to put the challenge on and win that JCK Limited Division 2. But certainly Corinthians have been involved in the story, and they've worked tirelessly. I was talking to Chris Cave downstairs. I remember sort of 1980 when we were in debt. We were sort of struggling to get teams out, and we just wondered, you know, how we could turn things around. And, you know, great people like Dennis Kane, Basil Quiggan, and also the man who held it together, Dick Ward. And there was no reason for Dick to be there, to be honest with you, because his son had packed in by then. But it was just his scrutiny of everything. And then the younger people like myself and that, because I'd be about 20 then, were allowed to sort of come in and help. And if you like, they trained us. And it's so, I think, nice to see possibly Corinthians tomorrow lift that you know, Premiership trophy. They won't get presented with it tomorrow because of all the hard work that an awful lot of people have put in. They've sacrificed a lot to try and achieve what they might get tomorrow afternoon.
And we've just actually had a text in from someone saying, feels like Christmas Eve, exclamation mark, up the whites in Caplock. Yeah. So that's nice. Let's talk about women's football, because we didn't touch on women's football last week, and I was very ashamed of myself for this. So what's happening in the Women's Football League at the moment?
Yeah, well, for a start off, we've got brand new sponsors. So thank you to Vicky and Dan at Canada Life, because they're the ones that have got it together. And it's a 3-year deal, and it's basically in control of women's football, which is great. It gives us some money to send the Allen women team away. And also, you know, when you look at the Floodlit Cup, it's played at the Bowls, a lot of expense there. And with their sort of help, it's absolutely brilliant. But the women's football, I'm hoping, will be sort of finished as it should have been. There'll be the second part of the league grass, which we're on at the moment. The Floodlit Cup's already done. Corinthians have won that one. The FA Cup draw, with your permission, we'll do next week. We'll do a couple of other draws. Thank you. We'll do some other draws as well. And that's the plan, was to try and get the league programme finished by the end of May, men and women, which we're close to. But then in June, we'll play the cup competitions, which is, and the dates will be out very shortly, is the Women's FA Cup. We'll have the Men's FA Cup, which we've done the prelim draw, the ECAP FA Cup. Then we'll have the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup. And then we just couldn't get the Woods Cup in, so we'll go for the Paul Henry. So a lot of football to play in June, but cup competitions, if you go well, it can go a long time. If you don't do so well, you go out very quickly.
It's
so
exciting stuff.
It gives them a rest.
Mm. And you are going to be with me on AM tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock, is that correct?
Certainly are, and you know, we're going to cover the game at Bala Fletcher. I think we have to. There's a game on just before that where Corinthians play St John's at 12 o'clock. It was supposed to be played tonight, but due to a wedding, it couldn't be accommodated. So yes, no doubt about it, I'll be with you at 5 o'clock, and hopefully we'll have some interviews from a team that's won the league. But I'm pretty certain Moran are going to try and spoil the party just for another week or so.
Fabulous stuff. Well, I will speak to you tomorrow, Tony. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Manx Radio Sport.
Hockey now, and alas, Sam Knife and Fork and Spooner couldn't make it into the studio this evening. He has diligent dad duties to handle, but we managed to have a little catch-up earlier today. So starting in the women's Prem, Vikings A claimed the title as their own last weekend in a dominating match against Valkyries A. So I asked Sam what's left to play for between the other teams in the league.
So, pride, really. That's really all that's left to play for. And I think Valkyries A, after last week's defeat, they're going to want to go out and prove that they are Vikings' leading challengers. And although the table reads that they will finish second, Backers A have also, they've always been a bit late to the party the past two or three seasons. And like I said, they've always had a say in the title destination, or, you know, being able to beat the sides above them in the league late on in the season. That's shown, by the way, that Castletown are ahead of them for much of the league season, and then Backers A have come back to beat them. So Backers A are going to want to beat Valkyries A, just as Valkyries A want to finish the season on a high. That being said, I think it'll be a tight game, and I think Valkyries A do just have that touch more class than Backers A this weekend.
We only have one other game in the women's Prem, and that is between Valkyries B and Harlequins. Looks like it could be a fairly straightforward win for Valkyries B, would you say?
It should be, yeah. I think Harlequins are looking forward to consolidating next year and building with their good young players that they've got at the minute in the under-16 sides and sort of blooding that youth through. They're probably a season or two away from getting back into the Premier League, but they will be back, that's for sure. Valkyries B, they have impressed this season, no end. First season in the Premier League after promotion last year, and their defence is almost as mighty as it was last year, although they have conceded this year. But they've impressed me a lot, and I think Valkyries, that strength from their B team is going to stand their A team in good stead next year for the title challenge.
Moving on to the men's Prem, we've got three matches. So we've got Backers A versus Vikings B, Ramsey A take on Harlequins A, and Valkyries A take on Vikings A. Now, should we start with the latter? Because is that the big game of the day in this league, would you say?
Yeah, well, there's nothing left to play for. Again, it's just pride, and Valkyries had an awesome result in midweek against Backers A, drawing 2-2. Now, I know that Backers A side was a little bit weakened, player availability midweek's been a bit of a pain, especially with cricket starting as well and players being unavailable. So I don't know whether that was a little bit of a blip on Backers' part, but Valkyries certainly set their stall out for this weekend, and they'll be looking to go after Vikings A. Again, it just depends what sort of players Valkyries can get, because they've got a number of players that are involved in cricket. So it depends on what team they can get out. But I think Vikings A should have the strength and depth to overcome Valkyries men's A, especially as, I believe, I haven't had official notice of this yet, but I've heard on the grapevine that Vikings B Backers A, Vikings B can't field a side. So Vikings A are going to be able to call on a lot of their under-18s players from the Vikings B team.
And how do you think they'll hold up?
The under-18s, I think they'll be fine, especially in a no-pressure environment. You know, I know the captain from Vikings A very well, Tim Henderson, and he'll put no pressure on those young lads to perform. They'll just say, go out and enjoy it. You know, it's the end of the season. There's nothing really left to play for. They want to beat Valkyries A, but they want to do it the right way.
And then finally, we've just got Ramsey A versus Harlequins A. Harlequins at the bottom of the league and Ramsey sat in fifth.
I think Ramsey A should win this one fairly convincingly, but that being said, Harlequins have improved since the third lockdown, and I do get the feeling that they could potentially overcome Ramsey A. Again, it just depends on player availability for Ramsey. I know a number of their players are also involved in cricket, so I don't know whether they'll be able to get their full strength side out, but certainly it'll be a strong side. Harlequins A, though, they haven't been relegated yet. They have to score 51 goals in one game. And now, although I've seen nearly 30, I've never seen more. So I don't think they're going to survive relegation, but they're going to be going out all out for the win anyway.
Okay, moving on to the women's Div 1. There's only one game this weekend after an incredibly exciting week of matches last Saturday that literally went down to the wire. There's just the one match between Valkyries C and Ramsey B, and it's looking like it could be a pretty straightforward game for Valkyries C to take the win.
Yeah, I think so. Valkyries C, again, have been mightily impressive this season. They've been in and around the title fight up until just before the third lockdown, when they were sort of officially sort of rendered out of the title fight. But they've been very, very impressive. They've taken points off both the top two. So And there's no other team have done that in this league. So they should win this one fairly easily against Ramsey B.
And then we've got Men's Division 1. There are four matches here. So we've got Valkyries B versus Backers Colts. Castletown B take on Harlequins B. Saracens B take on Ramsey B. And Castletown A versus Viking C. So which is the match of the day to watch in the Men's Division 1, would you say?
Obviously Valkyries B, Backers Colts. Depends on how many players Valkyries B's A-team call upon, but Valkyries B's strength is unreal. But Backers Colts' strength is the fact that they've been able to perfectly blend that youth coming through, those 13, 14, 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds as well, into that side alongside the impressive experience alongside the likes of Peter Vernon Brown, Richie Weir, Gareth Nicholson, the goalkeeper, Tim Leeming, the captain. You know, they're players that have been around the block for a number of years and know what they're doing. And they've got a very, very good young side there. But there is an interesting dynamic slightly in that third place is still up for grabs in this league. And Vikings C desperately won that third place. But so do Backers Colts. So Backers Colts want to win this game and keep it in their own hands. So if they lose and Vikings C get a point out of their game against Castletown A, then Vikings C will spring past them into third place.
Then we've got a couple of games where the two teams playing against each other are side by side in the lead table. So we'll start with Castletown B versus Harlequins B. Castletown sat in fifth and Harlequins in sixth.
Yeah, I think it's a fairly interesting game, to be honest with you, because both these sides have been impressive without achieving, you know, great things. They just missed out on that top four place at the split. And yeah, they've been doing very, very well in this bottom half of the table. Castletown B, they haven't been scoring freely. Defensively, they've been very, very good against the bottom five. Whereas Harlequins, they've been free scoring. They scored 47 goals this season to Castletown's 22. So it's a defensive team versus an attacking team. So we could have an interesting result here, and it could go either way.
And who are you going to put your money on?
Oh, do I have to?
Yes.
I'm going to say Castletown just purely based on league position, and that's no discredit to Harlequins B at all, but you've forced my hand.
Okay, well, I'll put my money on Harlequins then, just to balance it out. And then
I'll bet you some cakes.
Yes, sounds good. Then we've got Saracens B and Ramsey B. Now these two are sat on 7 points each in the league table. Saracens B in seventh, Ramsey B in eighth.
Yeah, the goal difference between them is quite vast. I think it's 21 goals between them in goal difference. Saracens B have conceded 45, Ramsey B have conceded 60, and that's really the difference between the two sides. Based on the fact that Ramsey B's side, you know, they are one of the older sides, more experienced sides. They're going against quite a fast-paced Saracens B team with some incredibly fit players like John Halligan, former runner for the Isle of Man. So I think Saracens B should just have the strength to overcome Ramsey B in this matchup.
Finally, we have Castletown A versus Vikings C.
Yeah, and again, this one, because from what I understand, the Vikings B game in the men's premier isn't going ahead. Vikings C are able to call on those under-18 players that can play two games in one day. So they are strengthened somewhat. You know, the likes of Rob Griffiths has dropped down into the C team this weekend, and that's... He's a big, big player for Vikings B, and he's going to be even bigger for Vikings C. It does mean I can sit on the bench and just warm the bench for the day. I don't have to do any running. But Castletown A, they were in a title fight for a reason up until last week, and I think they should have the strength to overcome this Vikings C side. But if you look at the other fixtures between the two sides, it's always ended in Castletown's favour by one goal. So they've been tight, tight games. So I think this week it could prove just to be as tight again, but Castletown A on paper should win this.
Okie dokie. Well, you can use that time on the bench to decide what cakes you're going to buy me.
Well, it depends what cakes you want, really. What do you fancy?
A birthday cake. Even though it's not my birthday until October, but I'll just have a birthday cake, please. Shameless.
And I'll have a vanilla crown if I win.
Okay. Boring, but fine. Thank awesome. You very much, Sam Spooner. Have a good day tomorrow.
Manx Radio Sport.
And though Dave Christian isn't with us this week, unfortunately, rugby is back tomorrow in some capacity in Douglas. So a senior tournament is being held at the Portachee Ground, which is being played under England's Ready for Rugby rules. So Douglas, Ramsey, Southern Nomads and Vagabonds will all have teams competing, with the first match getting underway at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon. Added bonus for you, if you're thinking about going down, the Portagee Bar will be open and the Premiership game between Bristol and Bath will be on the telly. And that's it from me for another week, but I will be waiting for you on AM tomorrow. Not in a creepy way. I'll have all the football and hockey results for you there from 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and also the basketball results with Martin Dunn. Unfortunately, we couldn't squeeze them in this evening, but we'll have them tomorrow. And as always, I'll also have previews of both Sunday's netball and women's football matches. So good luck to all of you who are competing tomorrow. In the words of Nike, you can do it. Or something like that. Have a great Friday night, and thank you as always for having us on, and thank you very much to Tony Meppin, and I'll speak to you tomorrow. Bye for now.